The Independent Audit Committee was established by charter and receives audit reports and other information from the Denver Audit Office. The committee strives to bring greater clarity, transparency, and accountability to Denver's city government and its residents. It also produces the city's annual comprehensive financial report. This committee is chaired by Auditor Timothy M. O'Brien. And it starts right now.
Well, good morning.
I am going to call the first Independent Audit Committee of 2026 to order. The next item on our agenda. No, the first item is to do Amy's roll call.
You got it.
Here.
Lorraine Neff.
Here.
Ed Schultz.
Here.
Craig Rowe.
Here.
O'Brien.
Here. We do have a quorum, and we believe we have two other committee members in transit. Next item is approval of the December 18th minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
That's so moved.
Second. Thank you. Any amendments, additions to the minutes? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. I'm getting ready to sneeze if you'll bear with me.
Yes,
you are. Next item is a follow-up report on information technology risk management. Dawn, would you like to introduce the audit team? And then Merlin, I would like you to introduce yourself and tell us the position that you have with the department. And I know Suma is in transit also.
Yes.
Yeah. Dawn?
Right. I'm Dawn Wiseman. I was the audit director on the engagement. So I'll introduce our team. I have to my left Dave and Angela. They're both IT senior auditors. So then I will hand it over to you, Marlon.
Good morning. I'm Marlon Namath. I am the chief information security officer for the city and county of Denver. And I report directly to Suma Nalapati Technology Services.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, shall we begin?
So, before we start briefing the audit, though, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Technology Services for your transparency and cooperativeness throughout the engagement. I would also like to thank you all for the collaboration and partnership that you have with us. I mean, it goes without saying, but it's something we have to acknowledge because we appreciate that cooperation and partnership with you, and it just makes our work more impactful. And with this IT risk management follow-up audit, you know, it is an impactful follow-up for the city, just so that we're keeping an eye on that risk that remains and acknowledging the ones that you've mitigated. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I will hand it over to Angela, and she'll go ahead and get started on the briefing.
Thank you. Beginning on page 3, we cover the objectives and highlights of your report. Our city depends on IT systems to support operations and provide services to residents, businesses, and the community. These systems must protect the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of information while respecting public privacy. Risks range from human error to sophisticated cyber attacks. Simple attacks can cause equipment failures, service disruption, unauthorized access to systems and data, and potentially cost the city millions. Because of these risks, a strong citywide risk management process is essential for regulatory compliance, safeguarding sensitive information, and allocating resources effectively. Technology Services is the city agency responsible for the city's IT infrastructure, systems, and services. Executive Order 18 grants Technology Services the responsibility to oversee IT systems for agencies under the mayor. However, agencies outside this authority are not subject to executive orders. This leaves Technology Services responsible for the citywide network without the authority to protect all data and systems across the city. The objective was to assess the extent to which the city's IT risk management program identifies, assesses, and addresses risk citywide. We also looked to determine if staff responsible for IT risk management were provided the guidance to understand their roles and responsibilities. The time frame for the audit was January 1st of 2022. The scope for the audit focused on technology services risk management lifecycle and risk management policy. Highlights from the original audit. The city lacks a coordinated approach to IT risk management. The city had no comprehensive risk assessment, had no documented roles or training program, had no central system for tracking risk, had limited collaboration with independent agencies, and had inconsistent completion of required cybersecurity training. I'll now pause for questions or comments from the audit committee and agency.
Suma, I wanted to say welcome. We already had introductions, but if you wanted to make any opening comments, this would be a good time.
Thank you, Auditor. I'm so sorry I'm a few minutes late. I had a conflict right up to it, but I'm Suman Alapati. I'm the Chief AI and Information Officer. I'm so grateful to be here working with all of you and the recommendations. Thank you.
All right.
Dave will continue the presentation.
Thank you. The original audit report had 7 recommendations. 2 are fully implemented, 3 are partially implemented, and 2 have not been implemented. We had 1 overall finding titled Technology Services lacks a citywide comprehensive information technology risk management program. We found that Technology Services fully implemented 2 audit recommendations. Those include recommendations 1.1 and 1.4. First, we have recommendation 1.1 on page 1 and 2 of the report. Technology services leaders said they designated the chief information security officer to oversee risk. However, Technology Services 2024 Technology Risk Management Policy does not explain that the leader oversees risk. We did find that Technology Services Governance, Risk, and Compliance Policy explains that the team oversees risk. The Chief Information Security Officer leads the Governance, Risk, and Compliance Team. In addition, in the cybersecurity strategic vision that the Chief Information Security Officer has presented, he is responsible for implementing the National Institute of Standards and Technology Risk Framework and for growing the risk management program. Lastly, Technology Services implemented the 2025 Citywide Information Technology Risk Assessment. We consider the recommendation fully implemented because Technology Services designated a responsible executive. They are more equipped to identify and address risks. The results for our analysis of the agency's work on recommendation 1.4 can be found on page 5. Technology Services has designated OneTrust as a centralized system for risk tracking and monitoring. The agency confirmed that the responses to the comprehensive citywide internal risk assessments have been automatically populated. The dashboard of the risks were presented to executive leaders in October 2025. We also consider this recommendation fully implemented. By implementing a single source of record for risk management, the agency can now efficiently identify risks across the organization. I'll now pause for questions and comments from the audit committee or agency.
Any questions? Any comments from the agency? Anything you'd like to add? What you've already done?
Yeah, the only thing I'd comment is that, you know, a lot of work went into that, to be able to have the citywide risk assessment, which was the first, my understanding is the first in CCD history. So a lot of work went into that. And so, we'll continue to build upon that. But I think we had a good starting point with that first assessment.
Not an easy task.
An important one for sure.
For sure. Thank you. Should we continue?
We found that Technology Services partially implemented 3 recommendations. Recommendation 1.2, Technology Services should develop a citywide risk assessment process. Recommendation 1.5, Technology Services should develop a grant program that is tasked with IT risk management. Recommendation 1.7, Technology Services should enforce acceptable use agreements and cybersecurity awareness training. Recommendation 1.2 begins on page 2. Newfoundland Technology Services leaders have not developed a documented procedure for the citywide IT risk assessment. We met with technology services leaders to review how they created the first risk assessment in 2025, and we added their steps to the narrative on page 3. The agency compiled the survey results in a dashboard and saved the survey template in one. Technology services leaders plan to complete a survey in 2026. This recommendation is actually implemented. Pause for questions or comments from the audit committee and agency.
Questions from the committee? Comments? Jack?
Yep. I guess the questions that I have are why has it only been partially implemented? And then the secondary question as a follow-up to that is what what plans do you have, if any, and time frame to fully implement this, if you have them?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. So, you know, as I mentioned, you know, doing the first citywide risk assessment was a very big effort. So we focused on that. I don't think it goes without saying that my team is severely understaffed. And so we focus on what we can. And so, you know, the finding here was that we don't have a document and a policy. We do have it, like, the workflow set up in our tool. So we are able to replicate that. And this is going to take some time for my team to have the cycle to work on actually updating the policy. But it is something that we can easily replicate again.
Okay, I guess then the next question, and I have that for you as well as for the audit team, is... I appreciate the comment you made about being severely understaffed. And I guess the question that I've got is, without getting into anything confidential, how severe is it? And I know budgets in the city are tight, but when you say extremely severe with something that's got this exposure, you know, my question starts going into what do you need to make it less severe, and what has been the response of the mayor's office or the budgeting people? You can only do what you got resources to do, and I'm guessing that you're even more frustrated than I am to be listening to this.
No, and that's very fair. And myself and my two managers, so I have Tara Segura, who is with us today, and Todd Deering are my two managers who report to me. And Tara is the data protection officer, and this audit was and the citywide risk assessment was something that her team conducted. So the three of us have actually done quite extensive work on determining what an ideal size of our overall security team would look like based on functions and the functions that we are doing, but we may not have enough people to do them well, and the functions that we're just not doing at all because we don't have enough people. And with that, we're for the collective team, we're about a third of the size.
Excuse me, you are one third? So in other words, you are two thirds?
Deficient.
Deficient.
Yeah.
And
I would like to add, cybersecurity is such a big, complex field. For us to resource every single function, it's not going to be enough resources.
Yeah.
So we have prioritized the highest critical path items. And again, there are some agencies that are not in our control directly from a cybersecurity posture as well. So do we prioritize the needs of the agencies that we are directly responsible for and resource loading those? To get to all of the agencies that maybe not directly under the mayor's purview, it's going to take a lot more resources.
No, I appreciate that somewhat, but when you have one third the staffing, and I'm sure you are, or I'm hoping, of course, that I have no reason to believe that you're not, taking the highest priorities. But, you know, if you were 20% undersourced, I'd say, well, I get it. But two-thirds below, pretty, you know, really ties your hands.
It does. And I have to give lots of praise to my team. And I think David and team and Don can attest to this. I have a great team. I've been a chief information security officer at other organizations, and I can say hands down, this is the most competent and hardest working team I've ever had in my career.
But one way to lose those people is to have them so badly undersourced that it becomes extremely frustrating. It not only isn't the work getting done, but you're being forced to risk turnover as a result of this undersourcing. So I guess, Suma, what? Can you share what you've gone through with the budgeting office? I mean, I'm not telling, I'm sure I've not said anything that you haven't thought of and live with severely.
So in this day and age, having human resources to support all the functions to the extent that we need is simply impossible. It's very expensive. Again, with AI and others, the cybersecurity polymorphism is happening so much faster. So the one way for us to combat that is to invest in tools and technologies and automation wherever possible. Again, as Merlin mentioned, there's a lot of the good framework already in place. We just need to replicate that to all the other stuff. So not just throwing people at this problem, but looking at automation and tools and technology to augment and supplement the staff that we don't have currently. So that's one of the ways we are thinking about this, working with our vendor partners, we're working with again, consultants that we get here on how we can use efficiencies through other means, not just human resources.
You can only get so much out of a rock, you know, and I guess, you know, I'm sitting here saying, you know, what's going on in the budgeting process, or where's the mayor putting his priorities?
Yep, and I think, again, the mayor's office does understand how much of a risk cybersecurity is across the world. I mean, everything is getting so much more complicated, so they do understand the risk, they do understand that we need to treat the highest priority items. So again, given the limited resources, we're putting them to preventing attackers from, you know, penetrating our networks. Those very critical path items, and we are staffed for those. These will take a little bit more time.
I think I want to limit the amount of discussion we have in open session on this. I don't want to be waving the look here sign.
I have a question, though. So there, you did a citywide agency assessment, which went to the executives. Did that include the mayor or mayor's office?
Yes.
Okay. So he's seen the risk assessment and...
We've been educating the mayor's office on the risk overall city on a regular basis.
Okay. And how often does that get, you know, does that, you know, assessment get updated and presented to... the executives?
I present to the mayor's office once a quarter.
Once a quarter. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
That's well aware of the risk.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Should we continue?
Sure. Recommendation 1.5 begins on page 5. At the minimum, the risk management training should cover defined roles and responsibilities, provide guidance on communicating risk up to leaders, and following up on risk mitigation status. Technology Services provided us with a list of 6 courses from the Ethical Institute of Advanced Technology that agency members completed. We analyzed the courses and found that 3 out of the 6 are leadership-level courses covering strategic planning, communicating risk up to leaders, and security operations. The last 3 courses are more geared towards focused job training covering enterprise penetration testing, security, and field architecture. While the courses do meet some of the criteria for recommendation 1.5, the training was not developed by the agency. training that is not specific to the agency business goals. Business goals are often reduce organizational risk. We consider this recommendation partially implemented. I'll now pause for questions or comments from the audit committee and agency.
Any questions from the committee? Should we continue?
1.7 begins on page 8. For the enforcement of acceptable use and cybersecurity managed training, technology services should issue warning notices before each quarterly training day. Notify managers of users with incomplete training, escalate persistent noncompliance to agency executives, and include citywide cybersecurity training completion rates and technology services leadership evaluations. Technology services showed us that they use Workday as the city's system of record to send quarterly cybersecurity awareness training and acceptable use agreement notices. Workday is also configured to send past due notifications to the employee and their manager. The agency does escalate the name of employees who fail to complete the training and sign the agreement to the mayor's office. However, show that the cybersecurity training completion rate was included in leaders' annual performance evaluation. Training that is not enforced by the agency may not align with business goals. Business goals are often tied to reducing organizational risk. We consider this recommendation partially implemented. For questions or comments from the audit committee and agency?
Questions, comments?
We found that technology services did not implement two audit recommendations. This includes recommendations 1.3 and 1.6. First, we have recommendation 1.3 on page 4. In 2024 and separately in 2025, technology services updated and approved the IT risk management policy. The agency added a requirement for completing a comprehensive citywide risk assessment, a requirement for leaders and stakeholders to review the results, risk identification and monitoring, establishing a centralized risk register, and added an annual update requirement. Technology services leaders did not document the citywide technology risk assessment process and did not add roles and responsibilities or risk assessment training requirements to the policy. We consider the recommendation not implemented. Without a documented risk assessment procedure, as well as defined roles and responsibilities and training requirements, in the risk management policy, there is an increased risk that technology services may not continue to perform citywide technology risk assessments. I'll now pause for questions and comments from the agency.
Any comments? I mean, that seems like something, the documentation seems like something that could be done. Is that near done or in work, in process?
It's close to being done, isn't it?
Thank you.
Recommendation 1.6 is on page 7. Technology services staff said new approved memorandums of understanding have not been created between technology services and other agencies. Technology services did show evidence of cooperation with other independent agencies on information exchange agreements. For example, with encouraging standardized data sharing. The agency is making progress toward creating memorandums of understanding and working with other agencies on risk projects, but a new approved memorandum of understanding between technology services and other agencies has still not been created. Therefore, we consider the recommendation not implemented. Without those signed and documented information exchange agreements with independent agencies, the city risks bad actors exploiting vulnerabilities that technology services is not aware of. I'll now pause for questions and comments.
Anything in addition to signing these agreements with independent agencies? In process. All right. Any closing comments at this point?
Support as we tackle this very important work. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate the continued partnership with you. I said this before, and I'll say it again. I wish all departments were as collaborative as you are.
So thank you.
It sure seems like you are so close to the goal line with all these things. So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Appreciate the support.
It's very obvious the hard work that you've done.
All right.
Thank you. Get back to order. We have a follow-up report on Colorado Youth Attention Continuum Grant Compliance. Kristen, would you like to introduce yourself and the team?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hoping for a few people.
You guys can see. Good morning, auditor and members. My name is Kristen McCormick, and I was the manager for the Colorado Youth Attention Continuum Program Grant Compliance Audit and the follow-up year. I am joined at the table by senior auditors Sean Jones and Alexander Munoz. Dan O'Connor cannot be present today. He's also a team member who worked on this project. I would like to take a moment to thank the dedicated staff at the Office of Social Equity and Innovation for their help and collaboration during this project as they work to help serve Denver's youth. I'll ask that you all take a moment to please introduce yourselves to the auditor and committee members. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Daleen Mix. I'm the Deputy Executive Director for the Office of Social Equity and Innovation, and it's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Good morning, everyone. Ben Sanders, Executive Director of the Office of Social Equity and Innovation.
Good morning, everybody. Omar Martinez, second JDC YDC Director.
Good morning. I am the pre-trial supervisor with CYDC.
Welcome. And I'd like to note that we also have Council Member Serena Gonzalez Gutierrez.
I don't know, almost 15 years. So I'm here to support them.
Would you like to join us at the table? I'm sure we can find a seat for you. Okay. And welcome. All right.
Thank you all. I'll now go ahead and start by discussing the background. As summarized on the highlights page of the report, the state legislature created the Colorado Youth Detention Continuum Program in 1991 with the goal of reducing the number of children placed in detention centers after being arrested. Denver provides several services, including screening children at the time of their arrest to determine whether they should be held at a detention center or released before trial, supervising and providing case management for children who are released, and managing beds at the detention center. The City and County of Denver has contracted with the state to operate the local program since 2016. When we conducted the original audit, the program was overseen by the Department of Health. Its staff, program oversight, and ongoing responsibility to implement recommendations were transferred to the Office of Social Equity and Innovation. I'm going to now hand it on over to Sean, who will discuss the original audit scope.
Thanks, Kristen. The original audit's objective was to determine whether the Denver Department of Public Safety's oversight of the Colorado Youth Detention Continuum Program funds complied with the grant contract and city policy. The time period for our audit was July 2022 through June 2023. We reviewed and analyzed the Department of Public Safety's policies and procedures related to Colorado Youth Detention Continuum Program grant funding. However, we did not have access to all juvenile records. Therefore, audit work was conducted on information available. Turning to the highlights page of our report, we've highlighted some key findings from our audit. While the Department of Public Safety generally met state grant requirements, we identified several instances of noncompliance with both grant and city rules and gaps that risk future compliance with both the grant and city rules. Specifically, the Department of Public Safety did not consistently charge training expenses to the grant in alignment with city policy or the grant contract, was not sufficiently monitoring processes for gift cards, was not accurately, consistently, or appropriately recording information in the city's financial system of record, and was not appropriately keeping and tracking state-owned equipment. Since our original audit, we found that the Office of Social Equity and Innovation fully implemented 6 recommendations made in the original audit report. However, the office only partially implemented 1 other, and it has not taken steps to address the risks 7 other recommendations has sought to resolve. I'll pause here for questions or comments from the audit committee or audit team.
Any questions, any comments? Okay, let's continue. Okay.
Beginning on page 1 of the report, finding 1 state that the Department of Public Safety substantially complies with state grant requirements, but gaps exist in policies and procedures. We will go over 5 sub-findings, pausing at the conclusion of each to allow for any questions or comments. Our first sub-finding states that program staff did not request approval from the state for training as the contract requires. Recommendation 1.1 said that the Department of Public Safety should work with the state coordinator for the Colorado Youth Detention Continuum Program to formally document the circumstances under which training expenses do not need prior written approval from the state. However, we found that program staff did not implement this recommendation. While program staff said they communicated with the state coordinator and provided a list of trainings, they were unable to provide any evidence of this communication. Our review confirmed training requests were submitted for approval, but there was no process documenting the training expense limitations they provided. When we requested additional information on attendance, they did not provide any additional clarification. By not implementing recommendation 1.1, program staff may continue to attend or incur costs for unapproved trainings, particularly if current program staff leave. I will now pause here for questions or comments regarding the recommendation of our first sub-finding.
Questions? Any addition from the department? From the office, rather?
I would say that our understanding of training approvals has been consistent as far as those thresholds, but we do agree that it's important to have that documentation, and we have requested that from the state. And as soon as we do obtain that, we're going to make sure that we codify that within policy and practice as well. I would say that we have strong practices in place, though, to provide that reassurance, but that missing piece is the codification, which we agree is necessary, and we're taking steps to maintain that or obtain that.
So when this program transitioned from public safety to your office, is it the same staff? Did the staff come with?
Or it is largely the same staff. We did have some key leadership turnover during that time period as well. And just as a note of clarification, the actual grant itself didn't transfer over to our office until the previous grant, which they are annual, expired. So we actually started maintaining and managing it through OSEI in July of 2025.
Few things could fall through the cracks, I guess.
Yes, and it's helpful to have bodies as yourself that can help us make sure that those things that are falling through the cracks are highlighted and that we're taking steps to address them.
Terrific. Thank you. Sean?
Okay. Our second sub-finding states that program staff use city-issued purchase cards inappropriately. Recommendation 1.2 said the Department of Public Safety should seek a formal written determination from the city's controller's office about whether the department can continue to use gift cards as per diem for staff travel and adjust its operations to match the controller's office guidance. We found program staff implemented this recommendation. Program leaders said that gift cards are no longer allowed to be used as per diem for travels for trainings. We also reviewed purchase card transactions and documentation in the city system of record workday and did not find any travel expenses. Although program leaders did not provide a written determination from the controller's office, stopping this practice completely to align with city policies will help prevent penalties against issued card users of the program. Recommendation 1.3 said the Department of Public Safety should regularly review employees' purchase card use through workday to identify patterns of noncompliance. This should include checking that purchase cards are not being used for gift card purchases without prior approval or for travel expenses. We found that program staff did not implement this recommendation. Although program leaders confirmed that management reviews purchase card transactions in workday, instances were found where cash equivalent gift cards were purchased. No documentation of prior approval was provided for any of these transactions, indicating that program staff are not requiring approval before a transaction to prevent unallowable purchases. Without implementing recommendation 1.3, the office remains vulnerable to the risk of inappropriate use and may continue to violate city policies regarding the use of purchase cards. I will now pause here for questions or comments regarding the recommendations of our second subfinding.
Any questions?
So if purchase cards are not used for travel expense, are those only reimbursable? Is that what the city policy is? Or
T cards too, but it depends on the office. Like, we have our own office policy too, but then there's the citywide policy on what you can use for travel expenses. And this was during...
Each agency is different. Some have T cards, some don't. Some have P cards.
It can be more restrictive, depending which one you're looking at. But as far as the instances of the travel expenses being on P cards, we spoke with... I only know this because I was on the original project as well. This was a one-off incident that somebody did that they kind of continued to do. So there are, I believe, 14 total instances of this occurring. Leadership was in complete agreement at the time. He's no longer with the office, but that was unacceptable, and that was not something that was standard practice. So they were well aware that that was something that they should not have done and have taken steps to move forward and not do that in the future.
See how that would be confusing, especially for another agency.
Now, this is where documented policies and procedures come into place with the City and County of Denver, because there are multiple layers involved.
And we have since established a T-card process within our agency that didn't exist previously to ensure that that doesn't happen again. We've also implemented a new pre-transaction approval process to ensure that all cash equivalent purchases are reviewed before they occur. We've retrained staff, and now there's a robust documentation process within Workday. And we're very thankful for the findings and the guidance on how to correct this and reduce the risk in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Subfinding states the Department of Public Safety is not sufficiently monitoring gift cards used for incentives and assistance. As detailed at the top of page 4 of the follow-up report, we found that one of the recommendations in the subfinding was partially implemented, while the other three were fully implemented. The updated gift card policy addresses proper documentation and tracking of gift card purchases and issuances. However, it does not require a stronger separation of duties. Just as we found in the original audit, staff members with access to the physical gift cards can also edit the inventory listing. This creates the opportunity for someone to take a gift card and prevent its absence from being detected through the inventory. The office's updated gift card receipt form, which is filled out when a card is distributed, now includes key information such as the amount, type of card, and its identification number. The office's gift card receipt forms are now compliant with city requirements and leading practices. We tested a sample of 23 gift card distributions from the 2024-2025 fiscal year. We found all of them had completed receipt forms. By following the updated policy, the office is meeting documentation requirements of the city and state. Through our testing of the previous recommendation, we noted no missing support related to gift cards. This shows the support is being retained. I'll now pause for questions or comments concerning these last few recommendations.
All right.
What is the primary use of gift cards?
I'll defer to our CYDC director for that.
For incentives, for good behavior and compliance with our clients. We also use them to help with basic needs, so clothing, food.
It's not for staff.
It's for, yeah, it's all kinds of things.
They're all related.
Yes.
With the intention to keep youth out of custody to support the family to be able to keep them in their home.
And you have guidelines or policies around the use of them, who decides how they're distributed and all of that?
Yeah, we actually have an incentives and sanctions program within our agency. So they give them like pre-trial bucks is what they call them, but it's not actual money, it's just like points. And so once you reach a certain level, then you get an incentive for like McDonald's, like $5 or $10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So it looks like we've got the right controls in place to be sure that the cards are getting to the right people for the right reasons.
And it's something that we're implementing across the agency, not just in that singular program. It's a good best practice.
Great idea. Thank you.
Beginning at the bottom of page 6 of the follow-up report, subfinding 4 states the Department of Public Safety did not accurately, consistently, or appropriately report information in the city's financial system. These 4 recommendations ask the Department of Safety to update supporting document policies, reclassify expenses, update policies on entering and adjusting expenses, and protect confidential information. After analyzing the statements and documentation provided by program personnel, one of these recommendations is fully implemented, while 3 were not implemented. Recommendation 1.8 said, the Department of Public Safety should update its policies to ensure that supporting documentation provides a clear picture of every transaction. We found program personnel did not implement this recommendation. It did not update policies or train to ensure supporting documentation meets city policy. We tested supporting documentation for a sample of transactions. We found 1 with inadequate support. By not implementing recommendation 1.8, transactions may be processed with insufficient evidence, leaving their purpose unclear and amount unsupportable. Recommendation 1.9 said the Department of Public Safety should reclassify any incorrectly billed expenses in workday to the correct grant year. We found that program personnel implemented this recommendation. They recorded journal entries which transferred the incorrectly reported costs we identified for 4 years. Recommendation 1.9. The transactions, as recorded in Workday, reflect how the state saw them. On page 8, recommendation 1.10 said, the agency update its policies to guide staff in entering and adjusting expenses in Workday to ensure they are consistent and appropriate. We found program personnel did not implement this recommendation. Provided evidence of policies, procedures, or training to reinforce that similar expenses are entered consistently and appropriately. Implementing recommendation 1.10. There's potential for transactions to be recorded in work consistently or in the wrong period. This could frustrate attempts to analyze activity by management. Recommendation 1.11 said, the department should update its policies to ensure that all confidential information, especially the names of minors, is removed from supporting documents before uploading it to work. We found that program personnel did not implement this recommendation. Our testing did show that confidential information was consistently redacted from invoices uploaded to Workday. However, we were not provided evidence of policies, procedures, or training to reinforce this practice. By not implementing recommendation 1.11, program personnel might return to including confidential information in invoices that are uploaded. We'll now pause for questions or comments.
I would say that we had taken steps to address this at a very high level, and then I'll turn it over to Omar to get more into the specifics. Previously, under the Department of Public Safety, we had our own finance department and worked with them really on a lot of these processes. Now that we're over in the Office of Social Equity and Innovation, that support is provided by accounting services through the Department of Finance, and they have a very different way of approaching things and different, I would say, procedures. And so they're helping us also codify this. We've done some trainings with them with our new staff and we transferred over. So we're not where we want to be yet, but we're working in that direction and with the right team supporting us that understands the fiscal responsibility rules that we need to be following.
So if we were to look at this, say this time next year, what would the results in your
I think we'll have more clarity. I think that we'll be compliant. I think we'll have more of a robust policy that's across the Office of Neighborhood Safety. And we already have a lot of policies in place for the existing Office of Social Equity and Innovation Practices. But you'll see more of system build out this time next year.
Yeah, we're in the process right now of developing, and a lot of this audit was incredibly helpful to us in a lot of ways. And one of the ways that we found this most helpful was in already ongoing policy development and implementation work. And so we're developing policies right now connected to CYDC, but also, as Daleen has said, also the entire agency, so that we are, not only will we be compliant next year with everything that's here, but we're really working to create a really strong policy culture throughout the agency, and Omar and his team have been really critical to helping us in that way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sitting at the top of page 9, our final subheading states that technology equipment tracking is inaccurate and stolen assets were not appropriately safeguarded during the original audit scope. This subfinding has 3 recommendations addressing inventory. I'll go through the implementation phases of recommendations 1.12, 1.14, and then pause for any questions or comments. Our review highlighted that recommendations 1.12 and 1.14 were not implemented. Our view of technology services inventory list shows that their current inventory does not identify which items are specific to the CYDC grant and does not note that these items should be returned to program staff. Technology services staff told us that no process exists that would help ensure state-owned assets serviced by technology services remain in the possession of program staff after they are serviced. Although program staff said efforts are ongoing after a ticket has been sent to technology services until January 2025, no other information was provided to show progress. Without an accurate inventory and establishing a process to return devices, program staff risk or continue to risk laptops serviced through technology services being reassigned to non-program staff. Not only could this cause issues when the grant ends, but it could lead to more time and resources spent trying to locate missing laptops. Although the inventory and process were not addressed, our review of email communication between technology services and program staff found collaboration, which led to recommendation 1.13 being fully implemented. Our review of program staff laptops confirmed that they were able to retrieve grant-funded devices that were distributed to non-program staff after maintenance by technology services. This completes our presentation. I'll now open the floor for any questions or comments.
Any questions from the committee?
I'm just curious, how many points do you serve annually? Up or down?
COVID years, probably like 260, but on average, like around 315.
Any closing comments on the audit, the future?
I would just say I'd be remiss if I didn't note that in addition to the work that we have to do that's outlined here in the audit, Omar leads an award-winning CYDC. This is an incredibly committed group of individuals that works day in and day out, night and day, to serve youth that are in contact with the criminal justice system. Omar, I've been sitting here trying to remember the name of the awards that he recently won.
Yeah, thank you. So we won 2025 CYDC Team of the Year out of 23 jurisdictions. One of our staff members was awarded the best at her position. We also received the city and county proclamation.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All of that is just to say we know that we've got work to do, want to do to shore up our policy and our compliance with the expectations, and also just to do that policy. The great work that Omar and his team does. They're already doing such incredible work. This really transformed the lives of young people. And so I wanted to make sure that that was a part of this presentation.
I think we appreciate the great work, and the stewardship is important too.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Just a brief question for Dr. Sanders. How many offices do you have?
Offices?
Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how the city is laid out. So I understand what your job is, and yes. I understand we've got this, but I'm just curious, how big is your role?
So I thank the Lord, have one office.
I'm sorry, I don't mean physical office. That's probably the wrong word.
I think I understand your question. How
many might be a better word. Yeah.
I oversee the Office of Social Equity and Innovation.
Right.
The office was created under the Hancock administration.
Right.
What we did did about 18 months ago was we created the Office of Neighborhood Safety by shifting five programs from the Department of Safety over to the Office of Social Equity and Innovation. And then, of course, through last year's budget reductions and restructuring, we've done some shifting. So now that team is closer to four.
That is exactly what I was asking. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilmember Gonzalez Gutierrez, any comments?
No, this was an interesting process, but I will just say, having been a part of CYDC in the 2nd Judicial District, I've seen a lot of really great innovative work done to keep kids from going into detention or get them out of detention in a expedient manner if it's, you know, safely done. And this has been an interesting process in the fact that having been on the other side and received state funds and have a fiscal manager, and this is a conversation I've had often with OSEI, is that these are state funds. And I know that the state has their process and can audit as well to ensure that funds are being appropriately spent. And as a member of the Juvenile Services Planning Committee, we continue to uphold that as well. And we review not only programmatic data, but we also review financial standing and budgets and things like that. So, and make decisions around how best to allocate those dollars to kids and families in the system.
Sorry, I'm just still trying to understand this whole process. So, Auditor, does this information go to the state that actually provides the funding for them to review? I'm just trying to understand that relationship.
I don't believe they're on our distribution list, but I think if the state were coming in to conduct an audit of this program, one of the first questions they ask is, are there any other audits that we should be aware of? And I hope you would hand them this audit as well as the follow-up audit. Then we could coordinate with the state as to what they might still want to look at in addition to what we've already looked at.
Thanks.
And we're actually going through a state audit. It started at the same time as this one.
Oh, my gosh.
We're not going to ask who you like better because we...
This is a ripe season for you, I guess.
It is.
All right. Well, thanks for your cooperation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mineral business.
What's that?
The annual report has been released. I think you all have a copy of it. Mm-hmm.
And thank you for the copy. We got the notice of it electronically, but I'm old school.
Right.
I like this version. Right. So it's better, so thank you.
Okay, Valerie, do you want to talk about the committee charter review or self-assessment?
Yes, this is just an announcement. Since these items are discussed in executive session, I will just document it for the public that the charter of the audit committee reviewed and discussed, and changes are pending. Self-assessment of the committee about its performance and expectations was discussed as well. And then there is an annual evaluation of the three external auditors, which we also discuss and rank and identify what may need to change. So those items did occur during the year.
Okay, next, Reed. Mm-hmm. We were just getting to know you.
You still have
I was just getting to know you guys. I'm personally, I was telling Leslie this, personally saddened, but family and partner things take priority sometimes. But I'll miss you all. I will.
We'll miss you too.
Thank you for your contribution.
Yeah. Hopefully short but helpful.
But helpful.
Impactful.
Impactful. Yeah.
And then our next meeting is here Thursday, February 19th, 2026 at 9 a.m. in the Paul Wiper Room. With that, I would like to adjourn into executive session. If I could get a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion of the motion? All in favor, say aye. We're in the executive session.